Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it is a pleasure to have you with us today, live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and also archived on iTunes. Today we have a really great topic. Man, when I got this book in the mail, I'm like, I have to read that really fast. Oh, my goodness. Now, look, I'm a really good fast reader. What I do is I kind of skim, you know. I just flip through the pages, and I get what I need from it, and it's good to go. But, wow, this book is big. But you know what? It has a great volume of knowledge, a great volume what I find pouring from the heart. The name of the book is Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light by Francine Valley. But let me tell you even more, I really find that it's opening of the heart. And isn't that really where we all are now, is with this new consciousness, this new awakening? I know a lot of the listeners are familiar with a lot of these terms, but some may not be. So don't worry, we'll be able to get you up to speed pretty quickly. What we're really saying is that our hearts are opening up. We're finding that we need to be more compassionate with people. We need to pay attention more to the earth. We need to find out that, you know, you can't just, if you remember, I mean, I'm almost 60. If you remember in the 50s and 60s, it was get a job, do this, do that, do that. And you had this, like, little list of things that would tower up. And when you got to the top, hey, you could look down at all the other people. Well, now we realize that's not really the way to be. Many people are still locked into that. But boy, they're trying to jump off of that tower, and they're finding themselves stuck at the bottom and not knowing what to do from there. And I really think that's where a lot of people are right now. It's great to look up to the gurus now and say, hey, you know, this is what you need to be. You need to be enlightened. You need to bring in the light. You need to be a power of one. We need to be all these different words. And you're going, I have no clue what you're talking about, people. All I know is that I'm at the bottom and I really feel very uncomfortable. So today, we talk with Francine. She's going to be telling us a story, and the whole half of the front of the book is a story about how life really intertwines with all of these processes that we're going through in life. You know, you say, well, I remember that, you know. Something crazy happened to me a long time ago, and maybe I just didn't pay attention to that. Maybe that was a guide or a sign or something that was telling me I wasn't really in line with what my heart felt like. Sort of like, you know, when you get that job and you say, now I'm locked into tenure and you're going to do it till you die. Don't you know? The day you decide to let it go and go to tenure, guess what happens? You die. Because you've put that in your brain, you programmed yourself, and you've said, I am rigid, I'm in these rules, and these are going to do it no matter what. So what now we're saying is with this new consciousness is about opening up. Be free to be able to say, I'm only going to be this. I am going to be my best. I am going to be loving and caring. I don't need to be dog-eat-dog world like I heard my entire life growing up. It's all about a dog-eat-dog. You don't need to care about anybody else. You just need to get yourself up there, and if somebody crawls up trying to meet you in the line, you know, on the ladder going up, you just kick them in the face and you keep on going. It's not at all about that anymore, because you know what? When you're all at the bottom and you've got an all kit, you decide to jump off that tower, we're all on the same ground, and it's called the earth. So now it's time to help each other up. And how do you help each other up? You look down, you extend your hand, and you just smile. That's it. We don't need to know everybody's stories. We don't need to know everybody's path. All we need to know is that one person is just as good as another person, because we all are the same. So it's going to be a really great show, and Francine's going to be talking to us about her book, and it is an absolutely intriguing book. I can tell you myself, I've read it, and in the front is a story, and in the back is a lot of her intuitiveness about all of her life going on. And she is an author and a spiritual leader and a visionary, so that's very important to know. You're not just getting this from somebody that says, I'm going to write a story, and hey, I don't know where it came in my mind. Francine's going to be relating it to things that are opening and are awakening now, and that's really a great place to be, because you could say, oh, is that what that was? Like I did speaking to her. Oh, okay, now I feel better. Now I understand. Those aha moments are on almost every page. So, Francine, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here talking with you. Thank you.
Don't you think all of what I was saying in the beginning is just, life has just been, it's been like a box of Cracker Jacks, you know? You have to just, all of a sudden they get spilled out, right?
Yeah, life is teaching us exactly the lessons that we all need to learn, and we want to learn them, so that it's like when you're in school, you want to move on to the next grade. You don't want to redo third grade over and over again. So that's what life is. And right now, my focus in everything I see and do is consciousness. Where are we in our consciousness? And that is really important, because we cannot go further than our consciousness will allow us. Think about that for a moment. Think about problems that you tried to solve in the past. When you look back, you say to yourself, gee, if I knew then what I know now, I would have been able to solve that problem a lot more easily and with a better outcome. So that's because your consciousness has raised in frequency since then. So what we are so blessed to be having right now is this great enlightenment that I'm sure a lot of listeners know about, and this enlightenment is here to help raise our consciousness. And so we all have to immerse ourselves in this enlightenment and make the most of it. And really try, and not just try, I shouldn't even use that word, immerse ourselves in the enlightenment and feel it, bring it into ourselves and raise our frequencies, so that the choices we make, the decisions we make, everything that we do, our interactions, are coming forth on a higher level, raising our own vibration.
And, you know, a lot of times I like to relate things back. I say to people, you know, you never would have thought about alternative medicine, you know, a long time ago. Like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it was like, which is the fastest drug and how many can I get? Where now it's like, oh, is there another way to do that? We still haven't quite had that collapse of healthcare. But remember my little tower I said in the beginning, you know, you're going to get up to the top and all of a sudden you're going to have to jump off. And I think that's where healthcare is coming to. It hasn't quite gotten to the top yet, you know, because they aren't ready to jump. But then we say, oh my gosh, but if you look back on all those decades, history has taught us many lessons. And I think that's in our life. It's in our work. It's in the people that we're around and we interact with. So things
yes.
have come to taken us to the top, and then we have to jump off. I find that is in history.
Yes, that's true. And I think that now specifically there's something called the meeting of science and spirit. And in many ways we'll discover that we're talking about the same thing, only using different languages. Science speaks in one kind of language, the spirit in another, but we are, through quantum physics, we are recognizing that spirit and spiritual healing and alternative medicine all are part of our world and here for us to use. What we call alternative ancient times was not alternative. That's what it was. It was using herbs, and people understood what every flower and every tree bark and every grass and every herb was about. They understood that, and they knew the mixtures of them. And it was lost, but it's coming back now. And actually, I think that the pharmaceutical industry searches the world for herbs and natural plants to then replicate them in chemicals. So what we're getting in chemicals is really just a replication of the natural form. Of course, it's not as good for us as a natural form is, but that's what's going to be revealed. People are learning that more and more. And more people are turning to what we call today alternative medicine. When they come to the end, I get the people that come to me for angel healings, they come to me when they're at the end of their rope and they've tried everything and it doesn't work. And then we begin to work together. And the big message really is everything that each one of us needs to know or have is inside us. We have it all inside us. It's like the light of our soul is a spark. In actuality, we are huge light beings, but as a human, it's just a spark of our soul. It is here with us. And so as we grow in consciousness and raise our frequency, that spark it expands within us, and we have greater access to what we need to know about ourselves. And so how do we get that to expand? By finding the person that will hold you in such unconditional love that you will feel safe enough to expand your soul light.
You know, and don't you think you find a lot of people stuck these days because they'll say, I found the love of my life, you know, but, and then they keep going on with the buts. And I think those buts might be just our humanness, but what are you really looking for, excuse me, in someone else, and how might that present? So, like, what does unconditional love mean, or what does it even look like? And, you know, I think it's just to just stand and close your eyes and just, that's it. And I call it zone. I just say, just zone, you know. And that's it, unconditional love to me, because you aren't taking, you aren't giving, you're just being. But a lot of people don't understand what that really means. So what are your thoughts on what unconditional love and how that should present?
Well, I feel that unconditional love, I work with unconditional love. That's how I accomplish miraculous healings, is with unconditional love. I hold a person in that space of unconditional love. I somehow have that ability to know how to do that. And it just comes from my heart. And we here as human beings now in this time do not even know what unconditional love is. We have forgotten what it is. And we cannot even imagine what it is. So I know that when I'm doing this to people, they have never experienced this before. I'm calling down light beings to help, and people all have their own spirit guides and guardian angels. I call on them, and all together we surround the person and fill them with unconditional love. And they are on a cloud. They have never felt this. But this is what we are capable of but have forgotten. And so my role is awakening people one by one, which is not enough. That's why it's so wonderful when I can speak to a larger audience, that if we can go inside the spark of light that is our soul that resides within our heart chakra and just see ourselves inside that light and be there. And that is where every answer to all our dilemmas reside, and make our conscious intention to know more how to love unconditionally, not just the romantic person in our life, but, you know, it's like when we learn to love other children the way we love our own children. That's approaching unconditional love, so that we all love our children and they're ours, but other people's children are also ours because they are our future. They're the future of the earth. And so unconditional love means allowing your love light to shine as far as it could possibly shine. Just allowing the radiance of your own heart, allow your heart to open like the petals of a rose, and allow the radiance to come out and travel across your town, across your state, across the country, and around the entire globe. Send that unconditional love around not only to people and children, but to every living thing. And indeed, we know that everything on earth is alive. Earth herself, Mother Gaia, is alive. All the trees and plants, the oceans, the rivers. Send your love around the earth from your own heart. In that way, I do this as a guided healing meditation, and you're in a zoned out sense, and you can do it. If you can do this now, because things that were not available in the past are available now, and so anyone who's listening can do this while I'm talking, and just send that love out, that beautiful radiance that's in your heart. Send it out around the globe. Let it shine on everything. People that you don't know, people that you might not even like if you knew them, they need it more than anybody. All the people that are doing things that are we see as horrendous, let your love light shine on them as well. See it blossom, see it go on every seed and every animal, every bird in the air, everywhere. And in this way, we expand our ability to love. And that's how we approach unconditional love. The more we do that exercise with all our heart, with our conscious intention, surrounded with our own spirit guides, do it with your spirit guides around you and your golden light shining, the light of your soul. Do that often. Do it before you go to sleep. Expand your own love light, and your own light, your own life will expand along with that. Your ability to love is in direct proportion with your ability to receive. And this is who we are. We know how we feel. And as I'm talking to you, I'm telling you that tears form in my eyes and I feel the presence of spirit coming through me, which happens when I'm exactly on the mark and doing exactly what these higher light beings want to bring to earth. They fill me with their energy, and I'm filled with it now as I'm speaking. So when we know how it feels when someone does something for us that we really need, it could be something little. It could be somebody helping us on the computer, showing us something that we couldn't do before. It could be helping us in a big way. People help us in many ways that we don't even know. And sometimes it's just a word that someone said that sparks an insight. That person just helped us. We know how glorious it feels. And that's how good we feel when we help someone else. When we help another person, we know how we feel. So good. It makes our day. That's what we were born to do. That's what we were born to be as humans, helping one another, loving one another. It's only through the control issues that have been placed on Earth that have taught us differently, played with our thoughts, our minds, and trained us to be for ourselves and ourselves alone that you were referring to before. That is, if you will, I don't know what else to call it, but in esoteric books, they do refer to the light and the dark. You know, we live in a duality. The dark will always exist because the dark shows us the light, and the light can show us how bright it can be in spite of the dark. But the dark has put that on us, and it's time now at the end of this 26,000-year cycle that is coming to an end to rise up and say, I'm out of that, I'm out of the matrix, I'm out of the mind control, I'm my true authentic self, I know how to love, I know how to receive it, I want to shine my love light around the earth. This is the time to do it, so that the next cycle that we enter into on a much higher frequency, a frequency of love and peace, where people share openly and give openly, knowing, you know, I discovered this a long time ago. My nature is very generous. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a very good configuration of Sagittarius, and I'm generous sometimes to a fault. But I have learned that every time I give of myself more than I really can, a little bit more, stretching myself a little bit more, I receive, when I turn around, the next thing that happens, I'm receiving something that's so valuable that I never could have imagined would happen to me. And that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly, our world is designed to teach us this. Actually, I just said something I shouldn't say. What I meant, that's not what I should say. That's what I used to say. Then I learned that the way the world is designed is really what we read about in the Garden of Eden. The reason that Adam and Eve were not clothed is because they were light beings. And that was the original timeline. That was the original timeline of Earth, when everything was pure and good, and man did not have to work for his bread. It was all around us, growing on the trees, on the land, for us. Manna from heaven, that's how we lived. And the second timeline, taking us away from the original, happened when brother killed brother, introducing murder into the world, took us away from original timeline. Now something existed that did not exist before. And since then, we have been taken further and further away by the dark instituting different timelines on us. And so now everyone, children that are born growing up, think the only way to live is to have conflict and war, to go fight them, to go kill them, to put an end to them. That's not the way to live. We've been taken so far away. And now we have the opportunity to bring ourselves back to the original timeline of Earth. Think how glorious that would be, living in a higher dimension, still here on Earth, on a new Earth of a higher dimension. That is what we're facing, and that is what I'm envisioning and helping people to see for themselves.
And it's also a lot of people, they really have to, as we've said, jump off that tower. And I think in the past probably 2 decades is maybe one decade, that's when everybody started to jump off the tower, because we had the financial crisis. We had a lot of natural disasters. We had a lot of really big things that happened in the world. We had 9/11. We had Hurricane Katrina. We had the banks. And all of those things is challenging our safety or challenging our stability. But I don't really find that it's challenging it in our mindset in which we're in. But I'm sure you could say this in better words. But if you're challenging, you know, you're saying that, oh, is your place where you live in your house, because you got all your trinkets and all your tchotchkes in there, is it stable? And along comes a storm and blows it away, you end up with a version in your mind that says, my home is not stable. Or if you end up, you know, and you live in New York, you say, my workplace or my city is not stable. Or if you end up with your money in banks, you end up saying, my money is not stable, my financial future is not stable. So kind of when we keep chopping all of these things down, we really come to the idea of what really is and what really isn't. And we realize that, is my house with all my trinkets important? No. Did the earth come and take it from me? No, it's just a process, and then you're okay. It's when you get stuck in that stuff.
That's true.
And in that mire, you know, that we call PTSD, or we call it, you know, oh my gosh, and we don't change or we don't learn from that. That's when I think more troubles arise, you, sort of like an alcoholic hitting ground, you know. Well, maybe you didn't.
Absolutely.
Maybe you didn't ride around in the mire long enough to figure it out yet, you know.
Right. And, you know, I live in New York City. I was out of the city for a few years because I got sick after 9/11. But I was here at 9/11. And 9/11, when I first saw it, I got a phone call that this was happening. I turned it on and I saw. And I said to myself, in my inner self, I knew nothing in our country, in our world, was ever going to be the same, because that marked, I somehow knew it, and I think a lot of people did too, that moment marked a definitive outpouring of dark energy.
Mm-hmm.
That instituted the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act came in right after that. It was all ready to go. And our world has never been the same. So things have happened since then that are darker and darker and darker. And the question is that I would ask everyone who's listening, what are you going to do about it? What is it teaching you? What is it showing you? And what you say is absolutely correct. It's like it's meant to push us. The dark is pushing us. What are you going to do about it? Shine your light about it or give in to the dark? And the truth of it is it pushes people when they lose their job and they are home to see their family, to be with their family, to become a true family again. All these things are meant to push us to find our true, authentic self. Is it about the touch, ease, and the little things, and all these little things we pick up and our little travels? Is that what life is all about? Or is it about the people that have trust in us, that we're going to be there for them, the people that love us, the people that we love? Is it about that? And so all of these things that are happening, you know how a community comes together when there's a disaster. And that's the way it's meant to be. If only we could harness that energy for community without a disaster. In a way, I have to say, because I go to a lot of events in New York City, I attend everything I feel is worthy. So anything that's connected to peace, anything that's connected to bringing in a new reality, anything that's connected to creating a new way of being in community, I go to these meetings. And I'm older than just about everybody there, but it's really directed at younger people because they're forming their families and so on. And it's there is a new wave coming out of all of this. And it's almost as if I see it, it's not like we're waiting for another disaster. We are living in a disaster right now. Every day can be seen as a disaster. Just turn on your TV. We're totally immersed in the disaster of life at the end of this cycle. And so it's pushing us to do exactly what I was talking about before. Go inside to our, the light of our soul. Find out what's important to us. And it's also not only about shining a light around the world, but shining a light exactly where we are in our own home so that we can create peace within our own lives and the lives of the people that we care about and make our choices wisely so that we choose to be with people of like mind and give up the struggle. You can't force somebody to see this the way you see it. And if you want to be with a community that's caring about each other and living in harmony, that's the community you need to join so that you can your work and your energy will make a difference. When you're fighting a brick wall, all your energy is getting used up for nothing.
Yeah, it's always it's always that brick wall. I know we're fighting a brick wall right now in Louisiana because in New Orleans you can turn on the TV and, you know, last night they said, this store, this gas station has been robbed 10 times by gunpoint in the past 6 weeks. And we're going, oh, dear. Or, a drive-by and there's 20 people dead or whatever. And or you see a body of a mother and a son on an exit on the highway in the woods and you're going, what is the problem here? You know, and, but yet everybody still says, bye. Oh, well, you know, the police will take care of it. They'll take care of it. So we kind of give it out. We give out things. And we put all of these things that we believe in our life should be taken care of, like, well, the police are going to take care of those murders and those bad people. My church is going to take care of saving me then. And my doctor's going to save me when I hit the wall. And I'm going to show up there. So when we put all of these things into these little boxes in compartments, and then our life is just moseying all along, and we hit one of these, I think we say, but aren't you taking care of it? So people start raising up and saying, aren't you taking care of it? Didn't you take care of me? Didn't you do what I expected you to do? And when that compartment fails to be able to save you, preserve you, keep you safe, whatever that might be, that's when people kind of rise up and say, and they rise up out of that darkness. They don't rise up out of the positiveness of it. And that really perpetuates that darkness.
Well, that's what you're talking about is people giving away their power. And that has to end. That's what we've been, don't you see, we've been taught that all of these different institutions are there for us to help us. But in reality, when we start to rely on that and that alone, we are giving up our own power. And so we see that they're just, they have feet of clay and they will crumble because it's not coming from inside us. We have to be self-empowered. We have to become. And the only way to become self-empowered is to wake up and say, I desire to enlarge my own light and become a self-empowered human being. Believe it or not, making that statement for yourself begins to make a difference. Then go out and find other people who want to do the same. Join together, because the light is so much more stronger than the dark. You know, you could be in a pitch black room, just light one candle, and that candle will reach to the corners of the room. So that's all it takes, and each one of us could be that one candle and joining with other candles and creating our own power, the power of love. And with that, you know, all the people that are doing these terrible things, all these horrible things that they're doing, they're being influenced by the dark side, of course. And that was instituted in New Orleans as well. And they are devoid of love.
Yeah.
They are absolutely devoid. They do not know what it means to be loved. They do not know what it means to love. And they might think love is when they have sex, and that's not really love. That's just gratification. Sex without love is not as beneficial to anybody as being in love with someone. And so they do not know what love is, really, on the deepest level. And so the early exercise of shining a light, if we shine a light around our own community, we can help. And then take action. You know, it's not just to sit home and shine your light, but then we get up and we go out and we take action. And there are ways of taking action. There's somebody here in New York being honored as the Peacemaker of the Year, and we can all look him up. His name is Iran Nazario, and he's out of Hartford, and he was a gang member, and he woke up one day. Something terrible happened in his life, and it made him wake up, and he started to go out at night and reclaim gang members, take them out of the gang, and show them a better way. And he was noticed by the mayor of Hartford, who then put him on the payroll and gave him the job, and Iran gave him support. And now he's got a whole organization working, reclaiming gang members. And when they are reclaimed, they have to agree to go out and do the same work. So they then go out and become other points of light out there helping. So it's not just having the great awakening inside you. It's not just shining a light and doing meditation, but it's taking steps, going out there in the community and doing something, feeling good, strong love for these unloved children that didn't know where to turn, and so that's what they turn to. It takes a lot of that. It's a monumental task. And I don't want to be doing it alone, and I'm not doing it alone. More and more people are waking up, and that's what it takes, going out there and doing the work in a way that is good for you. We each have our own talents. We each have our own gifts, and that's what we need to use, our talents and gifts. We might at one time have used them in business. Now we can use them to serve the community, serving the community, serving ourselves, serving our own children. That's what we must do. We're being quiet. How much dark do you want to experience? How many days do you want to turn on the TV and get another terrible report before you are moved to action? You know, and fear. You cannot be afraid of going out and doing it. I must say, fear is the opposite of love. Fear is what the dark side is trying to engender, to frighten us. And fear will keep us frozen, so we have to turn that fear around completely 360 degrees into love and say, that person that did that terrible thing, that poor lost soul does not know what love is.
Yeah.
Does not know. I want to send him love so that he can in some way receive it. Who knows how much the person can receive it. You know, but we do it anyway. It's our choice to go out and do it that then receives from the light all kinds of unimaginable help that we did not, doors start to open for us. You were able to attach yourself to other people who are doing this work. Join them. You don't have to blaze your own trail. You can join other people who are doing this work. You know, and in that group, you find your way. You know, that's what I did when I moved back to the city, to New York City in April, and I had been away for about 5 years. And before I even made the move physically, I joined the Museum of Peace the New York City Museum of Peace. I joined Enlightened Culture. I joined these different groups before I moved so that I got to know people who are doing good things in the world. I can't go out there and start, you know, and reinvent the wheel. But by connecting myself to these other people who are doing it, I can. I can find my niche and do it. So it's a matter of doing it all. We can. We have the ability to do it. We are magnificent beings. We are not victims. We are not helpless.
And so many people, you know, they always come to me. I have a lot of end-of-life clients or a lot of people who are, I call, doc shopping. And really what that is they're really looking for that one thing that they didn't get this time on Earth, and that is exactly what we're talking about today, is unconditional love. They didn't get that. They don't. They have this little feeling that there's this little tiny dot, dot, dot that's stuck in their being, and something didn't replace that. They have this one little spot of emptiness, and a lot of times people will say that emptiness, it grows into different things. If you look at your health, that emptiness, if you keep saying I don't have or it doesn't fit or something, you will create a health condition just with those parameters.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, when we say people have things like cancer, it's okay, it's something I say, okay, so what's eating you? That's my answer. What's eating you? What's been buried into, and you know what, and someone else had said to me, what crawled up in you and died? What did you allow to crawl into you and to create
this? And so when you read my book, you learn that I've had many, many physical challenges, and somehow or other I overcome them. And they were all parts of myself that were empty or wounded. And when we allow that to be, you can be sure that energy, dark energy, will fill that space, but that's where the light is not. So we need to fill ourselves with light and know that we have the power to overcome. Just recently, you hear my voice, I had thyroid cancer, and it was a perfect example of spirit showing me the weakness in my own life, because your thyroid is about self-expression, and the people that I was with in my life were holding me back from my self-expression. I was expressing myself outside the relationship, but not, you know, on my own, but not in the relationship. I swallowed my words. And a lot of us do that. We swallow our words to keep the peace. And all of that swallowing our words, we're actually swallowing our own self-expression rather than allowing it to come out. And that's what festered inside me. And so when I had an x-ray taken, I could see with my own eyes the whole area, not just the thyroid, the whole area was nothing but blocked energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to come out, even though I was shrinking the tumors with everything I knew and a couple of amazing healers that I found. I still had to have it out because it didn't just remove the thyroid, it removed the entire blockage that was in there. So now I speak my truth. Whoever it is, I have no more fear of speaking my truth. It doesn't matter. I'm not in a relationship now, but I won't be if I can't find somebody with whom I can express myself completely, because this life taught me that. I learned it. I learned the lesson, and I learned the lesson of all the other challenges that I had. So I've learned through my own body. It just gives me the authority to speak to other people and help other people. I'm telling you that where you don't see what you're not expressing, whatever it is, you will develop an illness, because a weakness, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be cancer, it doesn't have to be that dramatic, but it can be a weakness. And so we need to look inside ourselves, really, without the filters. Do it openly for yourself. See what it is that you're not doing for yourself, and then begin to do it. And don't allow fear to stop you.
And then also that brings us back to free will, though, because a lot of people believe that they don't have the ability to do that. And everybody does have free will. And how would you define free will? Because a lot of people say free will. Okay, I'm going to stand up and say, I really don't want to do that. But they're going to stand there and say, but you can't. So therefore, I see that as a loss subjugation, sort of like a loss of power. You know, somebody standing over you, shaking your finger at them. And for people to say or see that and say, how can I rise above that? What is free will?
How do I define free will?
Why?
It certainly is not defined by, do I want Coke or Pepsi? Do I want to go to see this movie or that movie? That is not really what free will is. If you want to look at it on a very low level, you can say that's what it is. Free will, the way I see it, is very, very simple. Very simple. Am I aligned with the light or am I aligned with the dark?
Sorry, your sound beeped out. Can you say it again?
Oh, am I aligned with the light or am I aligned with the dark? Which is my choice? I'm
right.
Choosing to be aligned with the light. Therefore, if I make that choice, I must make it 100%. I must give it all I have. I'm aligned with the light. That means everything I do, every decision, every meeting with every person, everything I enter into in my life, I'm aligned with the light. And that means when people ask me questions, I answer truthfully without doing harm. I do not seek to do harm. Everything proceeds from that one choice. If I am not aligned with the light fully, the dark will come in because they see the emptiness, and that's what they will fill. So then you become aligned with the dark, and your decisions start to get worse and worse, and then we call it criminal activity. But it begins with our free will to choose where we want to be aligned, and this is very, very important. This is a big teaching, and I got it directly from spirit. And so it is a holy teaching. It is a knowing that each one of us, I think as each one listening right now hears it, everyone is saying, oh, is that what it is? Oh my, I never realized it. Because that's what I said. I said, oh wow, that's easy. I decide to be aligned with the light. Simple, very quick decision. And then I noticed how every time I was presented with a choice, I stopped and I said, don't make it on a reaction. Don't do it on an automatic response. Stop and think. Tell people, I have to go home and look at my calendar. I have to think about that. Let me think about that for a minute and think about it before you make a decision.
Right.
And as you go along on that path, it comes faster and faster so that after a while, you don't have to stop and think so long because you've retrained your mind to think like the light. You see what I'm saying? So that's where it all begins. Align yourself with the light, and everything proceeds from that.
And I think also, too, a lot of people, when they're, quote, like hitting ground and stuff like that, we always talk about, and we spoke about in the beginning of the show.
Yes.
When you're late, I always say to people, if they say, I'm just done, I'm cooked, I'm finished, and I'll say, are you laying flat on the ground on the earth and you can't get up? Because that's when you're finished. And then that is something where we can work with. So when people say, oh, man, I hit the wall, I'm just like crumbling, everything is just falling apart, and I'll say, fabulous, that's the best place ever to be. Instead of them coming to me saying, oh my gosh, woe is me, you need to fix me. It's not really about me fixing them. It's more about me recognizing, fabulous, now we have something we can work with. How low can you go, in other words? Are you low enough? And that you can, I would say to them, lay on the floor. That's it. Just lay there. And some people will come up and say, oh, this is really making me mad. I'm just wasting time. I say, okay, then you have anger. Then you need to work on that. So kick the wall until you're finished and you get an hour. And then keep doing this every day until you don't kick the wall anymore and say, okay, now I'm ready. You know, and then another emotion will come up. And then they'll say, you know, oh, it's just whatever it is. I'm having too much pain. And you say, okay, so how angry can you get at the pain, or where can you localize it or give it a different voice? So as you work through all of these things, I think eventually people come to the realization that, okay, it has to come from inside me because everything outside me is working.
Right.
And that's when that realization is. That's when your grand from your book, that is the grand aha moment, that was the only thing that will pull you up from where you are.
Yes, and that light, when you are aligning yourself with the light, what we think of is we think of the greater light, but we need to also think of the smaller light that is in us. So when
right.
we align ourselves with our own light, we are automatically aligning ourselves with the greater light that is around us. And then it begins to blend, and we become that greater light, and that greater light comes to enhance our light. And so this is the way it works. This is, the law of attraction. That's really what it is on the highest level. It's our light attracting the greater light. And you don't have my card, but on my card, what I have is it's a very, very simple card. Everybody loves my card. It's a golden circle in the lower left corner, and a golden circle in the upper right corner. The golden circle in the upper right corner is like the size of a nickel, and the one in the lower corner is the size of a dime. That's the greater light coming to us. And
mm-hmm.
eventually we meet and we blend. And this is what we must do right now at the end of this cycle. And once we do that, that which we could not imagine was going to happen to help us suddenly helps us. It happens. But here's the thing. We have to be awake enough to recognize when that miraculous thing comes to us to help us. So we have to really be in the light, and that means not turning away from things by making an automatic choice. That's bringing us down into the fear again. So you have to really, really be in the light and recognize that when things come to you, it's something that could be a gift from God, if you will. Could be the name of a person that comes up that you need to see, and they have a message for you. It could be go for a walk, and as you're walking, you meet somebody. You don't know. It's the adventure of life. But as long as we're aligned with the light, then those things will happen for us. And once it begins to happen, then we recognize, oh, my God, we got that because we followed through on that little opening. Now I'm going to begin to follow through on all the openings.
And I think there's many times people will say, I didn't notice it. It passed me by. And, I mean, I can honestly say I have missed tons of those. And I think that just is what makes us human. We can go, we could say, I'll get better at it, and eventually then you start picking it up and you notice it. Or something
yes.
that's very important you will attach to. Sometimes, I always call it like a box of Skittles, you know. You notice it and you think it's great, and, oh, you could eat one and that's no big deal, and you move to the next thing. But sometimes you don't need to always pick up every little thing, but you do need to make sure you're awake for the important ones. So they're kind of the little things are practice for the big things. So you
That's
will
right.
get what you need when you need it. So I would also tell the listeners is like, don't worry, don't panic. You miss one today, you miss one 10 decades ago, you missed it, you know, in the future. It's okay. It's going to come around again. It's just by nature. It will. That is what it is.
Yes, and that's very, very true. And we are human after all, and that's what we're here for, to have this human experience. And in the writing of my book, as I say now, these days, I realized when my book was finished that my own consciousness had expanded. And how did that happen? Because, first of all, everything in there is absolute truth, search for truth, and every word of dialogue that people said or that I said absolutely the way it was. I had to collapse certain things into scenes to make it, you know, readable, but everything is absolutely true. And in examining, being willing to go deep into my own truth, I was able to see the times when I passed by some what I could have seen now as one of the greatest opportunities of my life. I passed by opportunities that came to me. Now, how did I pass it by? Maybe I had a weakness. Maybe I had something in me. Maybe it was a strength that I allowed to go too far. So I let things pass me by. And it's not about feeling remorse or regret or saying, calling myself stupid or anything like that. It's just reinforcing how important it is to really examine the things that come into our daily lives so that we live consciously you know, live with mindfulness, as the Buddhists say. You know, be mindful of everything you do. Things come back. You know, I went to a meeting last night, and it was a small meeting, but there were about half a dozen people there who saw me from other places, and everybody came over and surrounded me and was very, very nice and loving to me. And I realized, you know, that's what happens when you're kind and good wherever you go. The day will come when it just comes back to you. You know, all these different mm-hmm. people I had known from different places. And it's just a wonderful feeling. And that's the way life is. Everything we do will come back to us in some shape or form. And so maybe it'll take decades to come back. So the thing that we passed up all the way back then can show itself and reveal itself many years later when we're wiser, when we've moved out of the matrix more, you know. So we have to be gentle with ourselves. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying be gentle with yourself and not to beat yourself up about decisions that you made or didn't make in the past.
Right. Well, you know, and we also talk, too, at birth and at death. You know, I always say to people, you notice when there's a new baby born, everybody is happy, they're excited, and they can't wait to what I call rush into the room with presents and gifts, and they want to smell them, they want to look at them, they want to have pictures with them, and they're relishing in that. And that's really a perfect example of unconditional love, because that baby is giving it to the people that are coming. And then I contrast that to death, when people are dying and people might come, but they'll stand out in the hallway and they'll say, I can't go in there, just let me know when it's done. They aren't willing to be able to give that unconditional love at death, when really what that person that's dying may need that from anybody that may come to them. And that's another perfect example of another picture of what and how beautiful unconditional love could look at death, at just as well as it is at birth. I mean, I think all of this minutia in between is called life, but it's really an example of it at birth and death. And isn't that really...
Yes, and you're touching on something that I just experienced last week that is very, very important when we talk about unconditional love. I experienced this myself, and there is somebody in my life who is about to pass, and it wasn't easy because I was hurt a lot by this person, but I went. I had to fly,
and I took
a plane, and I went, and I walked into the room. My conscious intention was to bring love. But when I walked into the room, I felt that I was bringing suddenly, in one moment, unconditional love into that room. And it changed the dynamic completely. And I was able to bring closure. I was able to bring love unconditionally to that person. So that in the end, I was able to see that person, not as the person that hurt me, but as a human being living his life. And not understanding, not having certain awarenesses, and just complete compassion. And it changed everything. And it's not that you're letting somebody off the hook. It's that you're unburdening yourself by unburdening ourselves. We don't even realize how we burden ourselves with all of these, I'm not going to love that person because they're doing this or that. And we are contributing when we do that to the general negativity around us. And mm-hmm. so I experienced that unconditional love. It helped me as well as helping him. And so it was a moment to remember, an absolute moment to remember, where in that moment I was able to let go 100% of everything that ever went on. And it was so freeing and so beautiful. And I was guided mm-hmm. there by Spirit. Spirit came and gave me a message that I needed to go. And so I went. And Spirit knows more than we do. And as you and I were saying before, Spirit, I see ourselves, each one of us, as a multidimensional being. So we have higher parts of ourselves, way above third dimension. Third dimension is the lowest dimension for sentient life. And so that is so important. Why do we love babies unconditionally? Anybody ever thought about that? Why do we love them? Everybody wants to hold a baby. Everybody smiles when they see a baby. That baby is radiating the most amazing unconditional love. That baby is still in its soul energy completely without any brainwashing or any mind control or anything. Nothing has been put on that baby yet. It is just from heaven radiating pure unconditional love, and everybody wants a piece of that. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be near it, hold it, and feel it close to our hearts, that unconditional love that baby is radiating. And unfortunately, in our world, babies aren't always treated with unconditional love. And that's how we become wounded human beings. But just think about that for a moment, that unconditional love that baby is radiating. That's what we want. That's what we go for. That's what we need. We have the power to create that. That's what I'm trying to say. We have the power to create that unconditional love. I did it in a trying circumstance, and I can tell you that it was truly amazing, an amazing lesson. We never stop learning our lessons. No matter who we think we are becoming, no matter who we are, how old we become, we're still learning.
Absolutely. And you know what? Some people, we have to remember too, will not learn these lessons in this lifetime. So there are people that we, at death, you may have unconditional love for this person. They may not be willing to accept it or even to acknowledge you or the love you might have. So you just have to be okay with that too. So that's what's called, by definition, unconditional, because it doesn't have to be accepted. It just has to be. And so that's very important to remember, you know. Sometimes when some people are passing, it may not be, you may have already cut the cord from that person, sent them unconditional love, and if it's just out there in the abyss and they aren't willing to accept it, there's nothing more that you need to do and to be able to be okay with that.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's like a huge life lesson that a lot of people are just learning now, too, you know. You can only do so much. You can't fix people. You can't change them. You can only be. And that's the word, be. So, Francine, we have spun through this whole hour. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I really enjoyed being on. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, it's been absolutely wonderful. Can you share with the listeners your website and where they could purchase the book?
Oh, yes, certainly. It's FrancineVale.com. FrancineVale.com is my website. Very easy. Go there. And my book is there. You can order it. You can see my video on timeline and messages from the angels, light beings. There's a section there for the light beings.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, to the listeners, if you'd like to find out more information about Francine Vale, her book is called Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Life. Now, don't get put off. It is a very large book, but it is a great book and a great read. And you sit down and you kind of really need to digest it as you go. So wherever you open it up to is maybe something that you need to read at that time. Great storyline in the front and great lessons in the back, and it is a terrific book. It is a terrific read. So please do check it out. Her website is on the bottom of today's show page. Please just click right on there, and you'll go directly to her website. And thank you so much for joining us today at Alternative Health and Wellness with Sedona Talk Radio, and it's been a pleasure. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and please do check us out. You can also send us information, a message via my show page, or you can also check out my website, mypersonaladvocate, and then the number 2.com, or you may just Google my name. There's a lot of places there, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and I'm sure you'll be able to find something I'm doing or some other project I'm on, which every day there's always something new. So thank you so much for being with us, and until tomorrow, have a great day. Thank you.